strings, they look simple. I know they're not. I know it's from hard work and smart people that figured out how to make a good product and to repeat it day after day after day after day. And that's why we use them here in all our test gears and all our development.
This content's free, our work isn't. So help us out and like and subscribe, right guys?
Right. Yeah.
Let's go. Hey everyone, this is Chris Keys hanging out in Milwaukee this time. My friend Steph, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah, dude, it's so good to see you. There's a lot of changes. It's been over a decade since we got to hang and talk gear. A lot have changed. So where do you want to start? I see these beautiful Keezos over here. So let's maybe go there. We'll talk about the Keezos. How did that relationship start? Because obviously you got a good standing relationship with ESP, mm-hmm. longtime endorser, signature artist for them. But how did the Keezo connection start?
Keezo connection started because we have a rep from other endorsers, Chris Johnson, and he's an A&R at Keezo. And one day he hit me up and he just offered to, you know, hey, I would like to send you one of these. And because of my relationship with him, I was like, yeah, sure, go ahead. You know what I mean? It wasn't even on my radar or anything.
And, yeah.
So he had asked me, he's like, all right, well then just go on the site, see what you like, and then, you know, tell me what you want. And so I went, you know, and checked out the stuff, and the Vader was the thing that consistently was like, all right, that's the one I think I really want the most, right?
So yeah.
They built me a Vader. Oh, and actually, let me wind back up. It started actually before that. I had asked Mark from Vela Maya, when he went from Jackson to Keezo, I asked him, I said, what made you switch? You know, I was like, I never really pictured you making a switch from Jackson to anything, but I thought Jackson was your brand, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And next thing I know, he sent me one of his guitars. He had some guitars made, so he sent me his model that he had. And I was like, holy, okay. And it was when I got that, that's when Chris asked me, you know, hey, go on the site, see what you like. And that's when I picked out the Vader. And so when I picked out the Vader, and even before that, did I actually talk to Jeff? I might have talked to Jeff after I got these, but I think I talked to him right after they sent me that one. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, thanks for sending this. Like, holy shit, like this, well, I wasn't expecting this, right?
Yeah.
And then, so I got the Vader, they built me the Vader, but Jeff actually built me an 8-string Aries as well. Not the A2, but this is before that came out. And I was like, oh, this is dope, but you know, these are the ones I'm gonna be using, right? You know, but I really love the Vader and I was always jamming on it. And then, you know, as Jeff and I started talking more, you know, he had told me about being a fan of ours and you know, that he was a fan of mine as well, and you know, I was like, well, you know, I'm blown away by all this stuff, you know what I mean? And but nonetheless, I was like, you know, I really love the Vader. I was like, you know, I said the thing that I loved about it the most, I actually was really comfortable because I was at home a lot, and it was perfect. It's literally as he described, the perfect guitar to just sit around and play.
I never would have figured you to be a headless guitar guy, so that's why
I wasn't. Yeah. I wasn't, and I would say I'm still not. Except for these.
Yeah.
Really, that's what it comes down to. You know, it was these ones that I got really drawn to. And then, you know, I like my relationships with people, and they're really all awesome people. And that's how I ultimately was like, okay. And then I was like, okay, well, you know, I got to, you know, talk to ESP too. I don't want them to think like, you know, I'm all behind them and I don't love this. Because these ESPs are my main guitars.
You know,
that's my go-to, right? But what I love about the Keezos outside of the ESPs is ultimately at this point in my life is the weight, really. That's what I love, right?
Yeah.
Their ESPs aren't tremendously heavier compared to these, but they are lighter than the ESPs. So I really enjoy that about them. And then again, the feel and the look is something that I've settled
Speaking
on.
Speaking of that, can we pull a few out and just kind of give them a look?
Yeah, whatever ones you want.
How are they locked in here, Greg? Oh, I see it.
Little strap.
There we go. Do you know, like, yeah, dang, dude.
So when these got built, I initially only had maybe like one or two. And at the time is when Jeff and I, he asked me if I wanted to do a limited run, you know, signature. I'm like, hell yeah, right? So he asked me what I wanted. And I had told him that I wanted an all white guitar. And I had talked about getting all white guitars with the ESP people, and it was something that just wasn't panning out. You know? And so I told Jeff, and he's like, I can do that. I was like, hell yeah. So I got
I'm gonna grab that white one.
Yeah, I got the all white Kiesels, and the rest is history. And after I got that thing, you know, when we were doing this, you know, the White Walker. Yeah, the idea also was the all black one as well, you know, because it's white and black, you know what I mean? It's balance, duality.
That first Vader you got, did it come with your Fluence pickups in it, or did it somehow?
Yeah,
else?
Okay. Yeah, he put my pickups in it, you know. He even made it with my pickup configuration the way I have them. In fact, is that this one right here?
Was there an adjustment to the frets? Kind of, you know, obviously they're not the standard.
Having the multi-scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was my very first one. The color shift one.
Oh. Yeah, your colors are always the sickest.
These colors, the only color I picked out of all of these is the white and the black and the gold top. Everything else, so again, these all got built after I got these. You know, and I was going to start, you know, incorporating them into it. And I had talked to Matt and everybody at ESP. We got, you know, I'm cool with them and all this. After I was like, all right, well, I'm going to put these all, you know, we'll put these in the rig, right, and start using them. I was like, I actually need a whole set. And I was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to have all of them, right? So that's how I ended up with all these. And I just told Jeff, I was like, surprise me. So everything, like the one you pulled me out.
Oh, that first one,
with the redwood top on that. You know, these are all ones that he surprised me with. And he did all these, like, in an incredible amount of time. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know if you know this. You're a big deal. So, like, if they got a guitar order from Steph and the Deftones, yeah, I'm sure it gets to the front of the line.
You know, thank you. I'm blessed. And so that's how it all came to be with getting all these. And that's why... there's two vaults, so, you know, there might be days where I'm only feeling like playing on all these.
Yeah.
There's days where I want to play just all on these. And then we mix it up otherwise, you know?
Yeah, so there's no kind of set rule or anything, like old music, new music. It's kind of however you're feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
I will say this, though. On the newest album...
Yeah, Private Music.
I use these entirely for the writing process. And... almost entirely for the recording. Like I have a 50-50 on the recording. Like one side will be a Kiesel, the other side will be an ESP.
Yeah.
You know, and then a third track could be either or.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
You brought up, man, it's funny because we've crossed paths, we've been doing a lot of travel lately, and everyone's like, what music you guys listen to? And me and Perry are big fans, longtime fans, but Private Music kicks ass, dude. And it's coming up unsolicited from people we talk to, so... I want to get your feedback on what it was like to work with Nick again. Obviously, you guys did some great stuff with Coy and Diamond. So reconnecting with him, what do you guys enjoy about working with Nick?
Well, Nick's just an awesome person to work with. I mean, he's fun. That's really all it boils down to. And he's incredibly, you know, talented in what he does. So, I mean, I'm never questioning his abilities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where I conflict with people is when you try to tell me. It's like, don't try to tell me. I'll just do what I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just on things like that, that's the only time I would ever, you know, have any conflict. But otherwise, you know, Nick is amazing. And we've already, like I said, our history already is already proven between us. So I'm like, God, you don't have to sell me on anything. Just let's go just have some fun.
Yeah.
Because having fun is how you do this. And that's what we did, and here we are again, and it was amazing.
What do you still enjoy about playing guitar and having fun with the music that is Deftones and just anything you're doing at home and creating? What do you still find inspiring with the instrument?
Well, I got to tell you, up until COVID, I knew no scales whatsoever, and I only know one now, and that's the major scale. I broke down, and I finally learned the major scale. I don't know it across the entire fretboard, but I can figure it out. It's not hard, right? And so you know, that's where I'm kind of at now. Like, I'm trying to really expand on all that so I can, you know, start hearing different, you know, like modes, if you will. You know what I mean? Like, for all those that are into the theory and practice all that stuff, they already know. I'm not telling them anything new. But for me, it's all just completely in a stage of discovery right now. Like, oh. You know what I mean? And so now I just, you know, I'm embracing that. And the only thing that really actually slows me down is just time. You know, there's 24 hours every day. I'm going to sleep 8 of those away.
Yeah.
I got to eat. I got to shower, whatever else, right? There's so many things you got to do. Time I get to the point where I'm going to do something I want to do, the clock is already burned away.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, when you ask about the fun, you know, my fun for me is simple. I'm in the moment. I don't have big plans of what I want to do because I can't think that far.
Yeah. That's probably a good way to be because it just keeps you in a present mind at all times.
That's the mind to be in.
Yeah. Well, I do want to show some of these ESPs if you're cool with it because I love those guys. And you, these are the guitars that we associate you with. Like, you know, we've seen your Riot Fest a bunch and, you know, other concerts all over the time when you guys have toured, whether it was in the Midwest or down in Nashville. So I do love to pull some of these out if that's cool with you. Hey,
pull any one you want out.
So, like, and is there a particular favorite ESP or is it, again, like, they're all kind of the same thing so you can just pick and grab and go? Are there any ones that get played every night?
I don't have any ESP that I don't like. I love every one of them, but my favorites that are currently in this rig.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll say the whole vault is filled up with all my favorites at the moment.
Okay.
And by that, I mean, these are the ones I picked out, but of these specifically, the Glow in the Dark and the Pink.
Okay.
Yeah, so this is my Glow in the Dark one.
That's so cool.
Much like I always wanted an all white guitar, I always wanted one that was all glow in the dark. And I got the all glow in the dark before I ever got the all white. And this is by far my most favorite one out of all of them.
Man.
Because that thing will light the room up in the dark when the lights go out.
And I know you've explained this in rig rundowns and other interviews, but just in case someone hasn't gotten the story, why do you put the pickup so close? And then like this configuration?
That configuration was based on the old Whitesnake guitars that Vivian Campbell and Adrian Vandenberg were playing.
Okay.
Oop. They had that configuration. I just thought it looked incredible. I don't use that configuration for any sounds whatsoever. It has nothing to do with sound.
Just looks.
Purely for looks. In fact, if I could bottom that middle pickup all the way to the body, that's how it would be.
Pull out this old T style too. They're beautiful. For the new record, what were there any tunings that you guys haven't used in a while, or any new tunings that you used? Or is it kind of just you guys got the playbook and go with it?
I've been in the same tuning now for the last 6 years. I stopped changing my tunings. I already changed too many. You could see what happens when you get a bunch of tuning.
I see them.
You'll have a beautiful collection, don't get me wrong.
Greg's very organized.
But you'll have to carry a lot of instruments and that's a bunch of effort that, you know, it could be avoided. I've often said, and I will say again right now, if I could go back in time, I'm going back in time and I'm only bringing two of my 8-strings.
Yeah.
I'm gonna bring my F-sharp standard and my drop E. Because that's what I've been using ever since Diamond Eyes.
And are you using, like, I thought I heard Greg off camera earlier saying something you got from West Borland on the 8-string or the 7-string were kind of the unison stuff?
Yeah, years ago, in the 90s, this is a long time ago.
Family Values.
We both shared a guitar tech, my friend Trevor Cole. What's up, Trev? And he was Wes's tech, and he was showing me one of his guitars one day, and it was one of his 7-strings, and it had the little drone E on there. And I asked him, I was like, you know, why is that? He's like, well, you know, it's just for the setup.
Yeah.
At least that's how I remember it. And I was like, oh, that makes sense. So at the time, I was not playing 7-strings. So it wasn't even a factor, right?
Yeah.
But when I got my first 7-string, which was during White Pony, I just started playing it all the time because I wanted the 7-strings. By that point, I really wanted it, and I started, you know, because I was way into Meshuggah. That was my favorite band. And I was just like, man, I ain't never gonna get that sound unless I ain't playing that seven string guitar. And so when I got that, you know, we still had all of our setups from White Pony Going Backwards, which was all six string setup. So we set it up with, you know, this, like a six string, but I had that extra drone on there. And for years and years, I don't never even touch that extra string. It's there just simply to fill the spacing of the guitar, right?
Yeah.
And it's literally only been in the last few years that I started toying around on. I was like, oh, wait, this is actually pretty dope. And that actually will get used going forward. But it's just really just to fulfill the feeling to preserve the integrity of the seven string.
Yeah.
I don't want to play a six string at all. They don't feel comfortable with me whatsoever.
Really?
I don't touch them.
Yeah. So like at home, there's never like an acoustic or just something.
I have one. Don't never touch it.
Dusty. Getting dust.
Yeah. It's in the case.
No, it's funny.
I don't even know where it's at to be straight up. I don't know. Wow.
It's cool to see you get so excited mentioning Meshuggah, because that's how I feel about Deftones. Like every time you guys come with a record, I get so energized because it's a music I've loved for so long. Like, is there any other bands, like, maybe recent that you've been into or you listen to, or you kind of, you have your playlist and you go to that?
Yeah, you know, lots of them, but off top, Sleep Token, Bill Murray are my two, you know.
Really, Bill Murray?
I
could see Sleep Token, but yeah.
Bill Murray is amazing.
It's an amazing combination.
All bangers, as stated.
But it's like random influences that work so well.
I'm going to tell you, the latest record, I never turned it off for, I don't even know, maybe 2 or 3 months. And, you know, I've been going through some health, you know, struggles over the past, you know, couple years. Mm-hmm. Basically, I'm type 2 diabetic. That's what I was really dealing with. And, you know, just, I'm 55. I'm getting old, right? So there was a time when that record first came out and I listened to it so much that the songs are just so, so catchy. Like, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, you know, and go use the bathroom, whatever, but I couldn't go back to sleep because the song would just be going. I'd have to put something on that made me hear something else in my head. I stopped listening to it for a while because it was too much.
Yeah.
But now I can listen to it without, you know, it disrupting my sleep.
Well, dude, yeah, you need that REM.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been slow playing this. The reason we're back to talk to you, you got amps again.
Yeah.
People were excited about it. Mm-hmm. What excites you about bringing amps back? Why? Why was that an overhaul that you needed to do?
I needed to do it because I already knew that the amp was a no-brainer. The amps never failed.
Yeah.
I've had too many fails with my digital world. You know, not as far as like mechanical fails, but from where my rig has always been throughout my life to where it is now. When I went to the all digital realm is when I took on a world of pain that I was not expecting, and you all saw the last rig rundown, and yeah. I told everybody, I was like, I absolutely hate that thing. I was in a bad place with my equipment, like just hated how everything sounded, you know, and it was for, I mean, the most little tiniest of things, you know what I mean? And so after going through all these different versions of my hybrid, you know, like I've had the Helix set up running into a Fryatt power amp now for the last, I don't know, 4 years maybe.
Okay.
And that's been as solid as I've had my hybrid sound going, you know. And and in fact, we could actually bring that rig out right now and I think we'd still crush, you know, no problem.
Yeah.
But I, like I said, when it came down to it, you know, it's like I'm using the, you know, I'm getting my sound digital. It was a digital source, and I had made many multiple configurations of this. And one day when we were gearing up for the last leg of this tour earlier this year, when we were in rehearsals, I just reset my amp blocks and all my presets. I was like, just put it back to the factory state, right? And it turned out that the factory programming of the amp block itself was perfect. I was like, don't even touch it.
Yeah.
And that's been my mentality when it comes to all the equipment. Like, for instance, like I have all the Strymon Big Sky Timeline
the
Mobius in here. I only use the factory presets, and I don't touch any knobs no more. And the reason I do this now, and I'll give you all this advice, is if your gear ever craps out and you ain't got it backed up, them sounds are gone for life.
Yeah.
And you'll never get them back. Factory presets, however, are right there. If anything happens, breaks, act of God, whatever, go get a new one. Plug it right back in.
Sounds
boom.
Like, sounds like that's coming from experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all it is, literally. So, I keep everything like that. But as far as the amp goes, like I said, when I put the amp block in the factory setting, you know, default, it dialed it up. And at that very moment was when I was like, well, why are we even fighting this anymore?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because what I wanted to get out of the amp block, I knew I could get out of here, and I wasn't going to ever get it out of that. And that thing that I specifically looked for, or was looking for, was that low end punch and that thing that the depth knob provides, like that kind of like sub low, right? You know, your 80 or below kind of frequencies, right?
And you were running that you said earlier before we started rolling that you were having an actual Ubershaw or Bogner setting on the Helix,
yeah,
right?
No, that's what I used the Ubershaw block that's in the Helix.
Yeah.
And when I actually go back to, like I said, my other rig where the Helix is the only thing for the source sound in it, that's the block that I'm using in it.
Yeah. Now, did you use any amps or maybe these Bogner specific to with working with Nick on private music, or is it kind of a hybrid approach again with some of the presets, the Axe FX?
Working on private music, I brought a whole pile of amps of mine. I've been collecting Teds over the last, I don't know, maybe 10 years, not forever, but definitely in the last 10 years. And they weren't getting used at all. They're just piling up. I was just collecting them. And when we went to go do this one, I was like, you know what? I think I'm gonna bring all those down. You know, cause I was like, how can you fail? I was like, these are, you know, 100 watt, you know, tube amps. You know, I got all the stuff I need, brought them down. And we went through the whole pot. Every take we did, we put on another amp. We just kept going through them. And every time, you know, Greg's in there, I'm literally just sitting around playing. I'm not even touching. I never touched the amp once. Greg did everything on the amps in the studio. And I didn't have no complaints.
It keeps you free.
Yeah.
So you can just play.
Absolutely. And but again, here there was something that happened. Like when the actual organic sound of these amps, you know, like that, the feel, the whole thing, you know, the response when you're playing. I was like, oh, yeah, no, that's it, you know, and that's when we were like, all right, we're rebuilding this shit.
Call Uncle Dave up, be like, hey, I got a situation.
Yeah, so the idea of, you know, of building these started the beginning of last year, maybe even the end of 23. We might have started talking about it then.
Yeah.
They physically weren't constructed until after we are last, or no. They started before the last leg, but they just got completed like before we were coming out here.
Okay. What's been your experience or enjoyment kind of back to this rig, you know, the time you have spent with it so far?
It's all encompassing. You know, I have everything is isolated. So my actual primary tone is the Ubershaw Ultra. That's where all the sound's coming from.
Okay.
But should I ever elect to build a preset in my Axe FX now? It's going to come out the heads. It's purely the preamp now going in there, but it'll still be an amp.
Yeah.
That's actually delivering that, you know, the body of the sound. And that's ultimately why I'm back on the tubes. I know we can do incredible things digitally, and I am not here to bash on that in any way, because I still love and appreciate it.
Clearly.
I still use it. But for me, what I need, what I feel, what I want is coming out of an actual amp.
Can we have a little, see what else is in the drawer there? I know I see like the Mobius we got.
I'll show you this. First drawer right here is all the Strymans and the TC2290 pedal.
Okay.
I got the 2290 pedal because that was my primary delay forever until I switched out of my Bradshaw rigs and went to the Axe FX.
Mm-hmm.
And And I was even stoked that there was a time early on the Axe-FX had modeled the 2290 and put it in there. So I started adding that to them. I was like, hell yeah, but yeah, it's not the same, right? Uh-huh. And this is, you know, this is just a modern pedal version of it. It's not the rack version mm-hmm. of it, right? So that's what I got in this on this drawer. This drawer I have my front end. Oh, by the way, these are all back end. So, and they're completely isolated. So no matter what I'm using, Axe-FX, Helix, Amp, any one of those will hit these.
Okay.
Afterwards.
Got it.
And I'm almost positive. Correct me if I'm wrong, Greg, but can we use these in the front end as well also? They're purely in the back, right? Yeah, okay, so these are all post. But these ones are my front end ones. And in here I have the Pigtronix Gatekeeper, the SP Compressor, my ZVEX Hyperfuzz, I mean Fuzz Factory, uh-huh. and my ZVEX Machine. And then...
Spared no expense in that design there. Of the machine.
Hey, good luck, guys. You guys get one like that. See if you can get it. It's, you know, I mean,
that's one on one, dude.
Yeah, we got. You know, I was lucky. They hooked me up with that one. And are they coming out today too? I feel like we're gonna see the ZVEX guys soon. Also, maybe they came out yesterday and I missed them. I hope not. And my
the Boss Fuzz, and they got the Eventide.
Yeah, I got the H9 here. This is pre and post, though, right? Or just pre? Okay, so take that back, guys. I got no pre-post options. They are set. this is in the pre position because when we did Ohms, I used that octave sound for the song Ohms. Mm. And when I have a couple Bradshaw rigs that Bob built for me going into Ohms because I had this same mindset when we did Ohms. I actually used my... JMP1 preamp.
I remember that and the first one, dude.
Yeah, and my Fryette 292. So I was already using an amp, but it was still in my rack configuration, mm-hmm. right? And in that build, this was in the front end. So that's why it stayed there, because that's how I already used it.
Okay.
So we put it in there because obviously I need that sound. And I didn't want to alter it again. Another factory preset in here. That's preset 95, I believe. And that's where it stays. But these are all my front end, and I use these two on the Saturday Night Wrist Records, like the beginning of Beware, where it's all really crashed out, you know, crushed. That's the combination of these and okay. my main tone with, you know, big giant delay, right?
Dang. Now, I think before we were talking over side stage here, you were saying that Axe-FX kind of only does anymore is just some presets from Koi stuff, right?
For now.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to design some stuff in there. But again, like I said, that 24-hour day is a challenge every day for me. And but it's there because when we did Koi, I used it. I used four of the factory presets in there, Rosemary, Tempest, Goon Squad, and Leathers. Those songs were all, the effects at the beginnings of every one of those songs are factory pre's that are in there. And I wish I could tell you the names of them, but I renamed them in the Axe-FX to the names of the songs. So I got no fucking clue what they are. But I will tell you this, the Mark I Axe-FX 2, when the Axe-FX 2 first came out, that very first firmware are from when those were in there.
Okay.
And I have no clue if they still exist in the unit or not.
Any interest in going to the 3?
Never.
Okay.
Never even crosses my mind.
Yeah. Well, dude, could I ask you a favor and grab a guitar and go on stage and hear some sounds?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So, as many of you know, D'Addario has been a longtime friend of PG, sponsoring Rig Rundowns, and they're a longtime friend of all the players with their Players Circle Rewards. I've been using it for years, and essentially, they will reward you for the gear you buy. Open it up, look inside, and there's a reward number. It's free and easy to sign up for. And as soon as you sign up, you immediately get some reward points just for putting your name in. After a while, you accumulate enough where you can buy more of this fantastic D'Addario gear. So as a Players Circle Rewards member, you get discounts on custom products and merch, you get free shipping, and you get a discount on the gear you're buying with your points or free gear, depending on that. And if you're charitable, you could donate your Players Reward points for musical education. So collect those points, buy the great gear, and let's get back to more rundowns.
All right, Steph, we got you loaded up. Can we just hear it? Let's just hear the rig.
Okay. Depends where I'm at on the gate.
Oh, nice. Man, I can understand why you feel so much better about your rig, because it sounds so good.
Well, it sounds like a rig now, right?
Yeah, dude.
I mean, that was what I was missing, and this is why I made the choice to just start over, right? And I have the Helix. The Helix is the brain of my rig. This thing controls everything.
So it's kind of like the switcher and a engages everything that's in the rack down below.
It's controlling the whole entire rig, everything. Okay. It's doing all the switching, and I tell you, it's also my primary source for effects.
Okay.
Like going forward, again, like I was telling you about factory presets in there, it's the same in here. Like if I'm gonna add effects, I'm gonna start adding them from the ones that I have in the Helix, the mm-hmm. native effects that are in there. Obviously, I got the external stuff, and we'll bring that stuff in, but I love the sounds that are in that machine. That's why that machine's still here. And the beauty of it, again, my rig is a hybrid rig still. Even though the primary source for my tone is now coming out of that amp, at any time I want, that Bogner Ubershaw can turn into any amp that's in that machine. Because then it's just going to be a power amp over there, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where this thing is going to shine in this setup always, because it's everything to me. And I'll tell you the number one reason why.
Okay.
I have the Helix. I have the Helix. Number one reason is for their snapshots function.
Okay.
It allowed me to do what no rig of mine ever did, and that was to seamlessly change between presets with zero latency, no cutout or dropout.
Yeah.
So, for instance, if you'll notice here, right?
Yeah, they're all kind of named after songs, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, I'm in my Diamond Eyes patch. So I've made a patch essentially here for each record. You guys can't see that right now.
Okay.
But you can get some. You'll see it later. So I go to my Diamond Eyes patch. Bam. Now I'm in snapshot mode. So what you're seeing are all different snapshots that are renamed, right? And the beauty is with the snapshots is, unlike with my XFX or any of my rigs that, you know, are all the analog stuff, all the changes that happen in between each snapshot are still on the same preset. So it's not loading it. It's already there. So it just changes the parameters.
Mm-hmm.
And I can assign the snapshot as a controller function to every parameter in each block. So I can change the sound of, I can basically have a brand new rig 8 times.
Damn.
In one preset. Now, and go between them with no drama.
See, I see how the cameras are like, you know, visually how it works with the songs. But like if you clicked on the Butcher, does that create a whole new tree or folder? Or is that like
No. Everything on the grid here will be the same.
Got it.
But each snapshot will change the on and off function. So it's bypass, or on. And or any of the settings.
Okay.
I mean, just any and all settings. I can change everything in there if I want to be obnoxious.
Is that something you achieved on yourself, like challenged and dove in and, you know, changed the knobs, and or is that something you have Greg do?
No, that was when I first initially got hooked up with Line 6 and I started exploring in there. Because when I first got it, I really didn't dive into it very, very much.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day I was in it and I was like, what's the snapshot thing? And I started looking it up on YouTube. In fact, I'm going to tell you, shout out to YouTube. I watch YouTube exclusively. I don't watch TV anymore. I watch everything on YouTube.
Yeah.
And YouTube sucks because they censor and hide shit too. So I'll say that. But I started digging in on there, and when it comes to equipment, they ain't hiding nothing on that.
Yeah.
So I go in there, you know, and I'm all like, all right, oh my God. You know, I started learning how to control this thing. And when I actually started building a preset to where I could change all that shit, there was no more question.
Off to the races.
It literally did, like I said, what no rig I ever had did before. And that was it. It became my primary piece of equipment going forward.
Well, I want to hear what sounds that you excite you from a night-to-night basis, like what songs that you're playing on the current set list. What out of those songs, what are your favorite settings that we can hear you demonstrate for us?
Well, like I've said many times, not to you guys, but just in general over the years now, that my favorite record we've done of outside of our most current record is Koi. I love the sound of it, the vibe, those effects.
Yeah.
That's my favorite, and I'll show you that right here.
Yeah.
So with the Koi presets right here, that is not it. My top row right here are all my Axe FX presets, and down here are the songs that I'm using.
Okay.
As well as, I mean, those are labeled as a song. So, for instance, if I go here to Tempest, fucking clumsy ass foot, I have this expression pedal to control the volume of the Axe FX.
Okay.
I can cut, you know, between them.
I see.
Still get that the trails on it and everything like that. And those are both independently coming out of the exact same amp. So it's like an amp, right?
Yeah.
And I could do that again for, you know, like Goon Squad. Yeah. That's all you need right there, right?
Yeah.
And that's again, you know, I kill the Axe FX there and I'm still in here.
And so the expression on the line 6 obviously is just kind of tied to the Helix stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that little mini expression is to the fractal stuff.
Right. And and again, like I said, once I've gone, you know, Greg and I go through it and we really, you know, hammer out all the little details, then it'll be time to start exploring and creating new things, you know. And when we do, I'll be able to have my expression. Now, of course, the line 6 has the expression in their option, right? I just find this is way easier for me. It's a better feeling.
Yeah.
So I've been using the mini Dunlop ones for, I don't know, the last easy decade and a half.
Mm. What on the new record, what's a favorite riff that you came up with?
I don't think of it. I don't know. I don't
really.
I don't think about what I came up with. We're all there together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that writing process something you guys did all off the cuff?
In fact, I'll tell you what though.
Yeah.
On this record, Chino really came and showed up with the riffs. There's a lot of riffs on this record that are ones that he came up with.
Yeah. That's a trip.
No, it's not a trip. Fucking well, good on him, man.
Well, no, but I'm saying.
I tell you what, I'm stoked and proud, and he inspires me right now because, again, like I said, I've been going through these health things now for the last couple of years. I've been diabetic probably longer than I knew, and deteriorating because of it, you know. And it was only this year that I finally accepted it and have engaged in actively, you know, handling it, because otherwise I'm gonna die from it, and I don't want to die from it, you know. And I got compassion for every person out there that is experiencing this kind of stuff, and I will speak, you know, for those people, you know what I mean? Like, our food supply is toxic. I mean, we are all just sugar poisoned, period. And you know, if you're a person of color, you're at an elevated risk for diabetes, period. But every one of us is getting affected by the substance in just different ways. Whatever your DNA is, your problems
are still sourced to the same problems as mine. It's just, this is what's got me. And going through this record, like I said, back to, you know, you asked me what did I contribute. You know, I struggled going through this record. You know, I'm very grateful that when it was time for me to track my guitars, that I was physically able to do it. Because up until that point in time, there were songs I hadn't even engaged in yet, you know?
Yeah.
Like the song, I Think About You Every Day, right? I didn't even play one thing on that song literally until it was time for me to record. I literally wrote, and I say wrote, I recorded my part literally in the moment of recording that song.
Wow.
Affects everything. It all happened when it was time.
Wow.
Otherwise, I didn't have anything.
Wow. I'm sure through the struggle of your health, but also like fighting on through the record to be with your friends and brothers and the music was...
Hey, everybody was pumped. I was having a good time. I was as engaged as I could be. But, you know, like I said, I've been going and I still have my struggles, but I was going through a lot then. And last year was when I hit the bottom, you know, or as the bottom as I wanted to hit. Anyway.
Yeah.
And so I've been... You know, and I've been, you know, getting my, you know, medical help and seeking information and just dealing and just being accountable for my own personal situation.
Mm-hmm. You
know? Otherwise, I've just been like everyone else out there, ignoring it, acting like it's nothing, self-medicating and failing, you know?
Yeah. Man, I really appreciate your time. It's been a treat and a treasure to, you know, to be here with you this moment and talk gear. And see how the rig's, you know, evolved, and it sounds like it's going to continue evolving.
Absolutely, yeah, no, and thank you, because like I said, I wanted to do this time, because again, that last one, I absolutely hate that, and for all y'all that watched that, my apologies. I wasn't me in a good place, you know. I will say this about that, and I said this to you guys earlier,
yeah.
But my shit is still fucking beautiful. Look at this shit. I don't need to talk about it. It's gorgeous. It already speaks for itself.
Yeah, like before it even, you know, voices its own opinion by being heard, it looks good.
Yeah, my equipment is much greater than my personal abilities and skill levels.
Okay.
I'm not even here trying to brag as a guitar player. Everyone knows I'm simple. I ain't doing shit hard. You can play my shit, and if you can't, you will be able to. It ain't hard.
Dude, but okay, I saw that at a Guitar World interview, you know, shout out to Guitar World, because why not? Is that you're like, you know, I love the power chord, mm-hmm, and you don't shy away from it.
Yeah, that's all I do.
Yeah.
AC/DC didn't change their shit. Listen to them.
Yeah, or Slayer. Like,
Slayer, no.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's still the ideas. It's still the way you attack the strings. It's still what... I will stop you from discounting your contribution to music.
I'm just not... I ain't discounting
you. Okay, good.
I'm very proud of what we've done. I'm just saying, for me, I stay in my lane. I play within my abilities, and we write songs, and I have fun playing songs. I'm not trying. I've never at a point ever felt like I'm this certain guitar player. Look at me.
Yeah.
That's not me. I'm part of a group. We're all brothers, and we play songs that we love. That's what we do.
What got you into guitar? Way back, you know. What's that?
Eddie Van Halen is my source of love. I don't have any of his style. I don't have any desire to play like Eddie, but the character in his playing has always been the source for everything where I come from. It is all the palm muting stuff.
Uh-huh.
I don't play any lead chip, but I fuck around, you know what I mean? I make noises, but
yeah.
I could, again, like I said, up until recently, I didn't know a single scale.
Which could be going on.
And I'm not even gonna brag like I do, because if you call me on it right now, I'll probably fuck that up. So.
Okay, two quick mentions. You had Scott Ian. And Jim Martin were two other guitar players you mentioned.
And they very much, they were definitely the foundations after, you know, Eddie started me. As well as Meshuggah, man.
Yeah. Know? Well, dude, I'll speak for a generation of people that started listening to music and getting into guitar because of the Deftones. So I appreciate you, everything you contributed.
Thank all of y'all.
Yeah, dude. Thank you guys for watching. And Steph, thank you again. Rig sounds fantastic.
Thank you.
And of course, you do as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Check y'all next time.